Sarat and Murciano in the afternoon. We're joined by our pal Lyle Dean, who, as always, brings us health news you can use. By the way, is the boat docked away now?
It is, along with most of the others in the harbor.
Is there anything left out there?
Oh, yeah. There are a few. You can stay in until November 15th in some of the harbors. And as you know, on a morning like this, it's a little nippy.
Yeah. A little.
Yeah, and people are sniffling. People are fighting various ailments. And that's why we bring you health news you can use. And what do you have for us today, Lyle?
Well, I'm waiting for the computer to wake up here. But
well, let's get some technology news you can use first then. By the way, we're very happy that we were among the first people to report on Apple and what they did yesterday. The Apple, what is it, the iPad Air?
I saw a bunch of apples in the green room.
Well, we had those too. Bill and Wendy had the apples you can eat, and dealing with the other apples.
You mean they gave this huge announcement that was watched worldwide and being reported as it was happening, and we were actually the first to report that?
Well, I'm told that we had all of the info on the new iPad on the radio here before it was posted at CNN.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow. So we beat CNN to it. All right.
That's
remember
it.
When you used to try to do that with new releases, new records?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Be the first one out there with it?
Yeah, and the two radio stations, the big rock stations, LS and CFL, would compete, and then one would get the record first, and then the other station would tape it off the air so they could have it, but then stations started putting their call letters into the music. Remember that?
Yes.
Oh, that's terrible. Now it's just a file. Like, everybody gets the file at the same time, probably.
I know. Yeah.
Do both of you drink coffee?
I do.
I'm not old enough.
How much coffee?
I have one cappuccino a day with almond milk.
Well, that's like three cups of coffee, isn't it?
Is it?
I don't know.
It's
coffee
strong.
Consumption reduces the risk of liver cancer.
Oh, wow. See, Bob?
I just, the idea of hot bean juice never appealed to me. But more and more you're hearing these reports about, is it the caffeine they say is now good for you?
Not necessarily.
What is good for you about it?
They're not saying, and this they just reviewed a bunch of previous studies, and it does reduce the risk of the most common type of liver cancer by about 40%, according to this meta-analysis in Clinical Gastroenterology and Hepatology. Further, some data indicate that three cups of coffee a day reduce liver cancer risk by more than 50%.
Well, I didn't want to tell you when you first asked me, but my cappuccino that I have is a triple. So I'm glad.
Was the study funded by Starbucks?
No, but strangely enough, with all the focus on coffee and liver cancer, and that's substantial, coffee maybe the headline, but keep in mind, primary liver cancers are largely avoidable through hepatitis B virus vaccination, control of hepatitis C virus transmission, and reduction of alcohol drinking. Those three measures, in principle, can avoid more than 90% of primary liver cancer worldwide.
Wow. So, well, you hear all about alcohol tied to that.
And hepatitis C.
Yeah. I'll start drinking coffee.
Well, let me know how you do, because I'm still not old enough to drink.
You don't drink coffee either? I made a decision many years ago that I don't care what is ever discovered about coffee, I am never going to stop drinking it.
Well, you're hooked, right? It's addictive.
Well, I mean, I went from the bottle to...
Really?
Seriously, I'm not kidding you. I'm Cuban, and I went from a bottle to a... Café con leche, which is like a cappuccino in a cup, when I was like three.
Well, the Cuban coffee, too, that will knock you out.
No,
it
won't.
A little tiny cup. Well, it won't knock you out, but it'll knock me out.
I don't know.
Strong stuff.
I don't think so. I've been drinking it since I was three, and I'm fine.
You say.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, I say. Who knows?
Flu vaccine story associated with a lower risk of cardiovascular events. Now, one of the headlines that I saw this morning I think on one of the TV stations, said flu vaccine associated with lower risk of cardiovascular events if you had a recent cardiovascular event. Well, that's true too, but this is a double full story in that receiving a flu vaccination is associated with a lower risk of major adverse cardiovascular events such as heart failure, hospitalization for heart attack. The greatest treatment effect seemed to be among patients with recent acute coronary syndrome, such as heart attack, according to this meta-analysis published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Several studies have suggested a strong inverse relationship between the flu vaccination and risk of fatal and non-fatal cardiovascular events. So it is, there is some benefit, even if you don't have heart failure or heart events, to getting the flu vaccine.
And now we go to Marianne at the Holistic Medicine Desk.
Of course, the flu shot haters.
I know, you're out there.
Who are a lot of people are saying, and the Holistic Medicine is saying, that the best thing that you can have to guard against the flu is appropriate levels of vitamin D. I don't know if that's true, but I just saw something on that.
Well, the debate goes on.
I think that vitamin D advice goes for our general health because most of us are deficient in vitamin D.
Well, in this part of the world, heading into the seasons we're heading into, it is a problem.
Yeah. The main story has to do with stories of health on TV. Health stories on TV, local TV stations, are too short, according to University of Missouri study. Previous research has shown the most popular way Americans get their health news, with apologies to you guys, is by watching local television broadcasts. And now, at the University of Missouri, School of Journalism found that while local television news is the most common source of health news for Americans, most health news stories on local TV broadcasts are only 30 seconds or less in length. And this pattern of local health news reporting may be problematic because of the complex and rather technical nature of many of the stories.
That's why you're here with this, so we can devote more than a few seconds to some of these health stories. Even in the newspapers sometimes, depending on what you're reading, and people don't go through the whole article, these headlines are misleading often with study results, aren't they?
Okay, with apologies to the headline writers and the tease writers on TV, they oftentimes are misleading. And then you've got the reader or viewer. They come with their own bias. We hear generally or read what we want to read or get the meaning from it. So
it's just like with politics, you know, you only
a little bit,
you only hear what you want to hear.
This Professor Cameron found that health news stories that dealt with advancements or treatments were mainly reported as gain-framed messages, while stories about statistics and trend mainly reported by loss-framed messages. Gain-framed messages communicate by giving positive reasons for avoiding a harmful behavior. Loss-framed messages focus on the negative consequences of continuing a harmful behavior, such as smoking. But one of the most important things about the health news stories is whether they provide specific directions or successfully encourage viewers to take healthy actions. And most of the self-efficacy people, you know, have control over what they believe they have. They believe they have control over their own behavior, which can lead to positive behavior change. But that the problem I mentioned earlier with the teases, as well as the short stories, and then our own bias in reading or listening to a story. I'm not suggesting Marianne would ever have a bias against listening to a health story.
from Western medicine.
No, wait a minute. Maybe she would.
Well, you know, my problem with it is that a lot of what's reported is based on a study done by a pharmaceutical company that's trying to sell a product. They're trying to sell something. So they do a study. It gets reported everywhere. And hey, what do you know? The solution for this problem is their medicine. And so I think that people just hear that, and that's considered like the health news. But it's not, I don't think that everything is looked at. That does happen
sometimes, but most often when a pharmaceutical company funds a study, they have no control over how the study is conducted. They just provide the money.
Right, but if the study is to see if their medication works, and it does, then it omits every other possibility of taking care of this problem except through their medication, because it's so-called proven.
One of the things you can look for is publication in a peer-reviewed journal, which almost totally eliminates this bias that you're talking about.
By the way, a little breaking vitamin D news. Because of the increase in the use of vitamin D supplements now, the NIH is going to be donating millions of dollars to fund research that will investigate whether or not vitamin D supplements can effectively prevent type 2 diabetes. That's news from the NIH study they will be doing.
That would be great.
And we can trust them, we hope. Marianne?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, you've got to be comfortable with your own health advisor, your health professional.
I am Bob's health advisor, so he might be in trouble.
I've said this before, Lyle, and you're a witness now. And I want to broadcast this as many times as possible in case something happens to me. Marianne gives me a handful of pills in the morning. I don't know what they are. She says, take these.
It's a blind study.
And also, lot of liquids, too.
Yeah, and there's some green juice and some white juice that I'm requested to take. And
every day.
I'm still here for now.
Bob is experimental medicine in the flesh.
Lyle Dean, health news you can use.
Thank you, Lyle.
Always interesting. See you next time.